We want to welcome each one to the service today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. I was blessed by the singing. My mind went to a song, and I don't know if we sing this song or sing it to the tune that I know, but it's 397 in the Christian hymnal. And the words in that song are, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee." Those words, you know, if we can say those words from the heart, and that I think the key phrase in there is "take my heart," there in verse 5, "take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne." If Christ is on the throne of our heart, what a difference that will make in all our perspectives and everything we do. Why don't we stand for a word of prayer before we... Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee again this morning, we thank You for Your love to us, and we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for, most of all, for the provision You have made for us, for the hope that we can have in You. And Lord, just help us to make our calling and election sure, to be completely open before You, and to give our hearts, our lives, be everything for Thee, that we would not withhold anything. We just pray for our service here this morning. Just pray that as we go through it, we might each look at our own lives and hearts. It might be a blessing to each one and a time of growing closer to You. We just want to commit this service to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. This morning, yesterday as I was thinking about the meditation today, there's quite a few of you, a lot of you on this side of the house, and probably some on this side of the house would have been affected indirectly or directly with the time of the year, the season, deer season. And a thought came to that verse there that talks about hunting in the Old Testament. It says, "A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." I thought it was interesting that, that's in Proverbs 12, 27, 28. I thought it was interesting that 28 followed right after 27 there. It says that the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. And as I was thinking of where we were finding ourselves yesterday because of the time, you know, there's preparation that goes into that. There is some of you that were preparing for this maybe days or a day ahead. You were making preparations, getting ready for the opening day of gun season. I personally put about 8 hours in a stand yesterday, and it still ended up without anything to roast, but I don't consider it all wasted time. I believe there's greater values in it than just getting something. There's family value. There's a blessing of being together with family, spending time with our children, and a blessing just being out there in nature and just thinking, considering who we are, what God has made, and the blessings He's given us. Well, recently, one of my boys came in, youngest one came in with a little book, something about lessons from a stand, and I might have read one daily reading in it, but as I was sitting out there with my son yesterday and thinking about it, I had to think of some illustrations, and several verses came to my mind, and this verse was one of them. You know, in the Christian life, diligence is important. It is essential. In the aspect of hunting, diligence usually pays off. You know, there are times that the person that goes out haphazardly fares just as well as the person that is very diligent. And maybe, you know, somebody has been very diligent, been very careful, has spent lots of time and lots, put a lot of energy and into doing everything just right and trying to get to know and know the patterns and know the, you know, to where this trophy is. And somebody else walks out there, drives out with a four-wheeler and with a real noisy, and they'll score the trophy that the other person paid so, was trying so hard to get. But, you know, in the Christian life, that's not the case. It's what we put into it is what we're going to get. It's what's going to make the difference. The diligence, the effort that we put into it is important. It doesn't go on. We aren't wasting our time. You know, while in the physical sense, in as far as hunting, person that has invested a lot of time may come home empty-handed, but not in the spiritual sense. In our Christian lives, it's diligence is important. Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 37, if you want to turn with me there, he repeats an Old Testament passage, and I think it's in all the Gospels. I'll read the one out of Matthew 22. Matthew 22, starting verse 37. It's when after Jesus was asked by the lawyer, which was the great commandment, and Jesus said unto him, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, we don't see any haphazardness here. We don't see Jesus just saying, just giving taking a casual approach. But he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If these two commandments are followed, it takes away the part of looking out, pointing at others. It takes away maybe some of the biggest difficulties we face in life. Instead of focusing on myself, where am I at? What is my relationship with God? What is my relationship to others? Instead, we're focusing on others. But if we follow this commandment, I believe that will put those things into place. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11, if you want to turn with me there. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. He says, wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. They're using that same word again. Our calling and election. Excuse me. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, some of us may never see a trophy that makes Boone and Crockett. Some of us may, and for sure, might not have the privilege of putting one on the wall, but in the Christian life, we can make that calling and election sure. It's not something that comes by haphazard or selfish living. The psalmist says in Psalms 42, verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You know, the entrance into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is promised to the diligent, to those who take life seriously, to those who make their calling and election sure. You know, the hunter that decides that he is on his own land, he doesn't need to follow the laws, he doesn't need to wear orange, he doesn't need to, and he may not need to if everyone else is heeding the law. But you know, it's for his own safety. It gives him a protection with the law in the event of an accident. And oftentimes somebody that doesn't want to do that is not following the law because they're not, something's not right in their own lives. Something they're doing, something they've got something to hide. You know, if we're afraid of openness and accountability, then we have something to fear. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, there's nothing that is hidden before God. Everything is open and manifest. Every attitude, every thought we have. There's nothing to hide. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, they thought they wanted to hide. But they weren't hiding from God. He knew where they were. 2 Timothy 2:3. Excuse me. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." Here Paul is comparing a good Christian life to a soldier, and he also uses marathon or the as a comparison to the Christian life. And it says, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." You know, somebody that is striving for in a marathon or in any kind of Olympics or something, you know, he may get a crown, but if something comes up in the future that he was doing things illegally, he was doing things wrong, that crown can be taken away. He can lose that. And there's probably a lot of people that have their crowns that have done things that have not, wrongs have not been discovered. The things they've done illegally have not been discovered. But, you know, in the Christian life, we don't have to worry about being false accused. We don't have to worry about God not knowing. He knows our hearts. He knows what has happened. That crown, if it is striven for lawfully, if we diligently, from the heart, doing our best, and like Brother Joe mentioned, God's not there, we're just waiting to strike us down. He's there to help, to push us on, to help us. And I believe that's what we should be to each other. We should be a group, a body of people that are striving to help each other, to push each other on, to encourage each other in the struggles and things we face. You know, we all have difficulties in life. We all things in our lives, things in our family's life, things that are difficult. We need each other. We need each other's help to push on and to keep on. We need the encouragement. And that crown that is taken lawfully will not be taken away. Nobody can take it away from us. It's something that only God gives, and God knows the heart. 2 Peter 3:14 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Being diligent. Again, another verse focusing on diligence. You know, it's maybe sometimes when things are going smoothly, or when things are really busy, or you know, we don't have time. We find it hard to dig into the Word. We find it hard to take time for God. And you know, those are the times that we really need to. We need those times to help us, to keep us going, to keep us that connection. We can even be so busy in the Lord's work that we don't have time, but we especially need it in those times. Another observation in when thinking of time spent with youth or young hunters, and one area of seems a lot of them have concerns, some more than others, is you know when the evening comes on, it's getting dark. How are we going to get out of here? And you know and honestly, I've been in places myself when I was older that far enough back in that you know I was a little anxious about getting out too. But you know, even when they're in a familiar place, even when they're with dad, sometimes it's a concern. It's unsettling. when you say, you know, I'm with you, I'm going to walk out with you. You don't need to worry. But, you know, isn't that how God may look at us sometimes when we're struggling, we're fretting, we can't see around the bend, and it looks so big. You know, maybe he's looking down at us, he's saying, I'm with you. Why are you worried? Why are you so fearful? But isn't it too often because we're looking down instead of looking up? And instead of looking at our blessed Redeemer, the one that has promised us that abundant inheritance. How wonderful that is. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Again, an admonition to being watchful, to stand fast, to be strong. And then the next verse, let all your things be done with charity. Just a few thoughts here yet. You know, do the things I do. Do the people I associate with, does my work, my hobbies, we're probably talking about a hobby a little bit here this morning, or are they ultimately drawing me closer to Christ? Is it increasing my sensitiveness to beauty, my awareness of God's presence and holiness? Does it increase my desire to spend time in His Word, or does it draw away? Does it tend to pull me away from that? And does it make our hearts pant after Him? Does it increase my zeal for Him and my longing to share the gospel with those around me? Does it give us that burning desire when we see to others that are struggling, those that we know are without the Lord? Do we long to tell them, to share with them? Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. You know, therefore, he says, because we need the things are important enough that we need to give more earnest heed to the things we've heard. You know, we're living in a time that, and it's that the phrase has probably been used for thousands of years, but we're living in a time that I believe we need to give them more earnest heed. I believe the pressures are on us greater than they have ever been. And are we going to let them, are we going to be diligent? Are we going to make sure that our calling and election is sure? Are we willing to stand by and let these things slip? You know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And I believe that includes also our a zeal, a desire to reach out to those around us and to be able to have something. You know, if we don't have something that they want, if they don't see in us something that they want, how are we going to explain to them that there is something here that has all that the answers are here? This is where the joy, this is where the peace comes from a life that spirit-filled, from a life that is that where Christ is encapsulated, that Christ, where we are little Christ. And that's the challenge for myself, challenge to me, and I'd like to leave that with each one of us here this morning. Let's kneel for prayer.